And welcome back. I'm Michael Woodington, and I'm joined in the studio with Tony Inman from Club Red Inspiration. How are you, Tony?
I'm excellent. Thanks, Michael. How are you?
Very good. And the reason I got Tony in, one of his favourite subjects, and one of my favourite subjects, is change. I mean, you often hear people say, oh, I don't like change, but they'll try a different restaurant, they'll go on different holidays, they'll change their clothes, hopefully. So people do like change. I always think the change people don't like is the change they've got no control over. How is your opinion, Tony?
That's a very interesting way of putting it. I think a lot of people actually are fearful of change if it is something they've got no control over, as you said. Change can be quite an intimidating thing if you don't know what the outcome's going to be. And if that leaves you sort of in that void of uncertainty, that's where you start wondering, you know, will I be good enough? Will I be able to achieve it? Or, you know, will it be a test for me?
And I think you get people, don't you? They say, oh, just give me the good old days. But they think back, the good old days probably weren't that good.
Yes, well, nostalgia's good, but it's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, with change, I mean, a lot of it is about, you know, what expectations you set for yourself. And I think that's one of the things that crops up for people, is that the fear factor of not knowing, will they be good enough? Will they let themselves down? Will they embarrass themselves? Take the simple example of asking someone to come up and speak on stage, or, you know, speak in a public forum. And most people go to pieces. You know, they say if you're doing a eulogy, you're asked to do a eulogy, that most people would rather be the person in the box than the one giving the speech. It's just that fear of, it's a sort of primal response. You know, it's, if you look at, we talk about it in NLP studies, you know, about, it goes back to our sort of caveman origins, you know, of being all the eyes are upon you, and you know, yeah. you're putting yourself out there and in the danger zone.
So do you think it is, as we go to do change, we get that doubt? But I think a lot of people, when they get the doubt and they get the fear, they see that as a negative. But I've always had the opinion it's actually a positive, because it actually means you're participating. You're actually going to have some input into the result. And the doubt is actually, you then start forming questions, don't you? So, I mean, people have doubt and fear. Oh, I'm doubtful, I'm fearful. I go, that's great. Now you're participating. Now you're actually going to want to play an active part. Because to get past doubt and fear, you have to ask yourself some questions and make some strategies.
That's right. Well, you know, you're coming at it from the point of view of someone who is very self-confident, obviously. You wouldn't be running your own radio station. But yeah, a lot of people do have that doubt and that sort of that sense of self-doubt. A lot of it comes in from not having strong enough goals in the first place. You know, they say one of the biggest, I don't know who says it, but those people out there, you know, the ones that wear the brown cardigans, the experts, they say that, you know, if you have a strong enough goal, it will conquer all fear anyway, because that motivation to achieve that goal just drives you through it.
Now, I know when you help people through change, you use questions a lot. I mean, I've listened to you and you've been on the radio station. What is your angle coming from there? How do you see those questions? Why is it you use that rather than a more, look, read this book, this will tell you this? You seem to go, let me ask you questions, and you seem to come up with some really good stuff.
That's a good observation, yeah. I think it's essentially, it's a sort of Socratic method of teaching. You know, if you say it, people doubt it. It's the old salesman adage as well, but if they say it, then it's true. So if you can lead people to the realization of the things that are important to them, or the things that they need to do differently to get different outcomes, then if they come to that conclusion themselves, then they're far more likely to take some action on it and follow through, as opposed to you just telling them what they ought to be doing.
To instigate change in ourselves, and I suppose if you're in a leadership position, a business owner, or you're in a management position, senior management, listening to yourself, is the questioning a skill set you try to impart to your clients to get them better, to ask better questions of themselves and better questions of their staff?
Oh, certainly. I think that's a key tenet of the coaching that I do with people. You know, Tony Robbins says that if you want better results, you've got to ask yourself better questions. And that's certainly true, because I think a lot of the time people get stuck and don't change is because they're in that loop where they're asking the wrong question. You know, if you're just sort of going, well, why me? Why can't I get this done? That's not the right question to be asking. You should turn it around to, how can I get this done? You know, what would I need in order to get this done? What resources would I need to access? What new skills or knowledge would I need to gain to break through this barrier that's stopping me from changing?
So when they're actually stuck, I guess the first thing we go through, and I'm just listening to you then, that first step is, okay, I'm stuck in this situation. You know, it might be a bad job, might be a bad relationship, might be, you know, just my bad business not running well. We want to escape from that. So we've got to kind of go, well, what do we want to? It's no use saying, well, let's get out of this situation. That's like giving someone $1 million and then by the end of the year, it's all gone anyway.
Mm.
It actually doesn't give them any real freedom, does it?
Well, you have to change your thinking. That's a key element of it. You know, I think one of the reasons people get stuck in the loop is that they're thinking about the problem in the same way. And, you know, it was Einstein that said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. If you just keep on banging away, trying to do the same thing and hoping something's going to change, it just won't. You've got to step back and look at the thing from a different scenario. And that's where coaches or mentors or, you know, consultants can come in and give you that fresh pair of eyes. You know, literally you can't see the wood for the trees sometimes. And having someone come in from outside and just going, well, hang on, why are you looking at it like that? How's that empowering you? How's that helping?
Mm.
What if you were to look at it this way instead?
So in that first step, and I'm probably lucky because I've been able to listen to you a fair bit and read your book, which is terrific. And the one thing I see, it's like a two-step process. You're giving people the freedom from something. So you're freedom from the negatives. You're able to see them and put those negatives in the perspective of what they are. Why are you here? Why is it keeping you stuck? And you do ask these pretty goofy type of questions. But the second part, which I find is interesting, is then you take them to a freedom to something. Okay, you've got out of that. It reminds me of the teenager. I don't want to be like mum and dad. Great, well, you don't know what you don't want, but you know what you do want. No, most teenagers don't. We just want to move out of home. I see people you coach, you go, okay, I can get you out of what you don't want, but you take them to the second step, which is, okay, now let's take you to what you do want.
Well, that's really important. You know, it's a sort of carrot and stick approach, I suppose. People are motivated to, you know, traditionally either to move away from pain or towards pleasure.
Yeah.
So whatever it is that's stopping them at the moment, what's where they're stuck is they're stuck with this pain point of whatever it is, you know, something that's not working, something that's going wrong. So you need to identify that first of all. What is it that's hurting you, you know?
Yeah.
And is it hurting you enough to do something about it? And you've probably heard that old story about the farmer's dog that's sitting on the nail and he's howling away, and, you know, the traveller asks the farmer, why is he making that awful noise? And he goes, well, he's sitting on a nail. And he says, well, why doesn't he just move off the nail? Oh, it's hurting enough to howl about, not enough to do anything about. So there's a lot of people out there, you know, that are howling and whinging, but are they willing to take the necessary action to do something about it? And, you know, Jim Rohn said, the things that are easy to do are also easy not to do. So very often people get stuck because their present situation where they're stuck is comfortable and familiar to them. And if they go beyond that, then they don't know what's out there. You know, there's two sides of the coin that are very, very similar, and that's fear of success and fear of failure.
Absolutely.
So people are afraid of failure because obviously they'll don't want to be a laughing stock, or they don't want the disaster that might come with that. It might be financial ruin if they, like for instance, start a business and they're not up to it. You know, they could lose everything. But equally, what if they were to succeed? Then that puts them in a whole different world that they're not familiar with.
Mm.
And that's typically the scenario where lotto winners, as you mentioned earlier, 5 years later, they're worse off than when they won the money because they haven't changed their thinking.
Yeah, they haven't changed their mindset, have they?
Exactly.
On that. So on that, I know you write a lot. You take a lot of notes. Do you think this is important? Do you think, some people call it journaling or just writing, do you think that's important? So as you write your notes for the day, what's happening? What's actually making you feel happy? What's making you not so happy? So you can, not as just a therapy of writing for writing's sake, but something you can go back and then spot trends. Is that one of the reasons why you get right into this stuff?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. I think, you know, one of the things I like to do is to do a gratitude exercise every day. So write down two or three things that you are grateful for. And it's a great way to start your day, actually. I was at a seminar just recently with Phil Britton and Graham McDonald.
Great guys.
And great guys. And they were talking about that. But it's, you know, it's brought up at quite a few of these sort of inspirational, motivational seminars, quite a few books that you'll read. When you've got a lot of these sort of people saying the same thing, there must be something in it.
There must be something in it.
And so a large part of that is if you have an attitude of gratitude, as they call it, you know, recognizing the good things that you have, you know, sort of glass of water half full, half empty scenario, which do you focus on? Do you focus on the opportunities or do you focus on the problems?
Yeah, because it is that, I mean, I phrase it the other way around. I say, you know, it's not where your feet are, it's where your mind are that's important.
Well, it's where you're going, it's where you want to be. And more importantly, it's who you want to become on the journey. Because very often we set ourselves these goals and, you know, let's say you want to get a new car or you want to go on a holiday somewhere. A lot of it's about the journey of who you need to become, the work you need to do on yourself to be capable of earning that kind of money, to be able to afford that kind of reward. the goals are not so much the important thing. They're what drives you, but it's the journey of learning and discovering yourself and adding new skills, new knowledge, meeting new people, developing yourself in areas, going into things that you might not have thought you could do previously.
On this journey of change, and we all go through change, we change all the time, regardless whether you want to or not. It's one of the things we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice about making choices. That's how we are.
In such a fast-paced world. It's just ludicrous. I mean, we were talking about this, I think, one of the other interviews that we did, where I had a tourism business of backpackers, and right in the early days, people used to come and handwrite a letter and fax it.
Yes.
You know, and 14 years later, everyone was sitting around the table with mobile phones and tablets and, you know, instantly messaging things back home.
I can still remember weddings where you used to get telegrams.
What do you remember? Post restant. That was another thing. If you were traveling, you had to get your mail sent to the next post office in the next town that you'd be visiting.
So on this journey of change then, what are some of the basic steps that people really should go, okay, get my head around this, to get a handle on this so it's not as fearful, not causing these upsets in me, you know, and the stress and the tensions. What are some of the things you start with people to get them a little bit more comfortable with taking control, I suppose, of the change?
Well, taking control starts with being aware of where you're at, being honest about that, you know, realizing that if your bank balance isn't what you'd like it to be, or if your business is not at a point that you want it to be, or if your life sucks, I mean, you know, you've got to be honest about that. And then you go, okay, well, why? What is it what's wrong? You know, what don't I like about this situation? What would I like to be different? And then if I could change that, the old saying, if I could wave a magic wand and make that all happen, what would you really want your life to be like? What would you like your business to look like? You know, what do you want to achieve in the next few years? And I've sat with clients where I've said to them, you know, what's on your bucket list? What are the things that you'd really like to do? And I've had responses when I first started working with them, like, oh, we don't want to think about that because we'll probably never make it happen.
I was going to say that. Is it? Do you think that's because it's a fear that if I put that down there and don't achieve it, I'm a failure?
Well, yeah, some of it is, if you're honest about what you really want, can't get it, then you might look like a failure, or you feel like a failure because you didn't get it. So very often, yeah, people won't set those goals because then they don't have to fail at achieving them.
And do you think the other one, the one that I've come across a lot, is people feel like they're not entitled to it either? Look, I just come from a working-class family, and you know.
Huge one, good observation. That's why the journey of growth is about, it starts with personal growth, personal development, like we were talking about before the interview. You know, if people want those things, they have to become the kind of person that deserves to have them.
Is that where someone like yourself, coming from the outside, gives them that confidence and opens up the door? Start, you know, they might have a little slither of right, you get them to hang on to that till it actually breaks open and they get the full picture?
Very much so. I think that's one of the biggest things. I was reflecting on it this week, actually, and I do journal, as you say, and I'd written about this, that a lot of it is, you think back to the best teachers you had at school and so on, the ones that resonate with you the most were the ones who seemed to believe in you, who seemed to have confidence in your ability to follow through and make things happen, and then encouraged you to do it. And that's really a big part of the role of a coach, is to help facilitate change, be a catalyst for change, by finding those key things that people have, those little skills, those trait that where they would get the gold star at school, and accentuate that and build on that. You know, get, look, you're really good at this. You can give it a go, and I believe in you, and you can make it happen.
Yeah.
And having sometimes an external person believing in what you can do will make you then believe that maybe you could do it.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes all it takes, is that shift to, you know, I can't, to, well, what if maybe I could?
Absolutely. It's very, very fascinating talking to you, Tony. What's the best way people get in contact? Because there's always going to be people, and some people are shy of groups and things. Is there a way they can just send like a private email or a phone call? And
yeah, sure. They can reach me on tony@clubred.com.au if they want to send an email, or go to my website. I've actually got two websites. I've got a businessy one, which is the Club Red one, clubred.com.au, or I've got tonyinman.net, which is coming more from the angle of my ongoing work as an author and a presenter and a coach.
Because you do open the doors for people that might say, well, it's there, but I haven't quite got the confidence to step through it. Or in some cases, look, be honest, you know, if you say to people, you know, as you said, what is it you want? Some people, because they're so busy in our own lives, and no fault, we've all been there, we haven't actually taken the time out, have we? We haven't actually taken the time to have a conversation with someone who can help us go, hold on, I never thought of it.
That's so true. It's one of the things that one of my mentors taught me was Jeff, you know, Jeff and Kane, the American guys that came over and blitzed Australia with their programs. You know, Kane used to say one of the biggest advantages as a coach that you have with people is that you're not them. So straight away, you can become a sounding board because you're not locked into their stuff. You know, you don't believe all the things they believe. And you'll question things and say, well, why do you believe that? And challenge their thinking and get them to open up new sort of neural pathways and new possibilities. And another lady I was working with, Suzanne Waldron, gave us a great exercise of just drive home a different way, you know, take a different route and start stretching your brain to thinking, you know, there's other ways of doing things.
It's funny you mentioned that, and you mentioned that right then. And I remember, you know, we live in Perth, West Australia, and I just take everything for granted. But when I go to Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane or Cairns or anyone, I'm fascinated. I walk down the street, what a wonderful place to, and I see so much more. So that driving home a different path is just, don't get stuck in the rut. Don't look at things in a different way.
That's why it's so easy when the way your reticular activating system works, you know, you focus on something. It's like you buy a new car, suddenly you see that car is on the road everywhere you go. Yeah. But the thing is, they were always there, you just weren't looking for them before. So that's one of the roles of helping facilitate change with people is to open up those neural pathways to go, well, there are opportunities out there. It's just that you're not seeing them. They're going blowing past you like tumbleweed in a Western movie, you know.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah. You just got to be aware that those opportunities are there and then start going, well, hang on, what if I was to pursue some of those? And what if I got serious about it and actually put the work in and applied myself? But I think a lot of the time when people are stuck, it's because they're focused on all their problems. The human mind can't, the subconscious mind can't differentiate between positive and negative. No. When you keep focusing on all, like if you focus on your bills and your problems, all you'll keep getting is more bills and more problems. But if you focus on what you want to change instead and what you want it to be like and you want to achieve something, as soon as you set that goal, then your reticular activating system kicks in and you start meeting the people that you need to meet, or the resources start turning up for you to start achieving those things that you've set out to achieve.
Hey, I'm smiling because we had a conversation, I think last week or the week before, about a guy we know, JR, John Ross. Yep. And the next day you go and meet him, it's like, what's going on?
Well, there was a bizarre chain of events on that too, because I went to another seminar that I very nearly didn't bother going to, you know, the Phil Britton and Graham McDonald thing, and I was asked to go to, and a fantastic weekend, great guys. And from that built more of a relationship with Andrea, who is a coach that was at that seminar as well, who then invited me to a Greg Culver seminar. And there I find myself sitting next to this guy. Everyone's been saying, oh, you've got to meet JR. And there he is sitting right next to me at the seminar.
It's amazing how it works, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's just sometimes when you open yourself up to the possibilities and you go, yes, I will accept that invitation, or yes, I will go to that party or that business meeting or whatever, suddenly you meet the people you need to meet that takes you to the next step.
And I think something you're saying there as well that I've noticed in change, when you're looking at change, the fact that you actually do go out and put yourself in those places that creates those possibilities for those connections to be made. I notice the places you go and the people you mix with are all motivated, successful, driven, at they're compassionate, they care about other people.
Yep.
It's not just about them, and they're willing to share their knowledge and ask you the questions that they feel like you might need to answer to get to that next level. They're
absolutely
amazing people.
Absolutely, I'm so blessed. I mean, I mean, in Perth, we have got so many of those people. You've just got to go out there and rub shoulders with them, you know, and you will find that whatever question you've got, whatever help you need, there's people out there who will help you. You've just got to ask, and you've got to put yourself in that situation. You know, if you want to change, the big thing about change again is the people you hang around with. If you want to hang around with people who are have not got any ambitions, who don't want to make anything happen, who are quite happy stuck in their rut, then you'll probably stay there too. If you want to start improving your situation, hang around with positive people, read more books, go to more functions. You know, it is a journey, and it starts with a self-discovery journey.
And what I like about like people like yourselves and the people you hang around with, they've all been there anyway. So when you come along, they go, hey, we were there, and we'll help you come up. So there's nothing to really be fearful about, because they go, well, we've been on the same journey. We're still on it.
Well, you know, one of the things about that is that they have a different mentality, and it's an abundance mentality. You know, people who want to stay stuck, they'll look for, talk about them living life below the line. You know, they live in an area where they blame everybody. They blame the government. They blame their neighbors. They blame the politicians. They blame everybody for their circumstances. And so they're very wary of change, because they worry that, oh, I won't tell that person about that, because, you know, they might get the job and I don't get it, or that kind of thing. Whereas you ask the people who have an abundance mentality, and they believe there's enough opportunity out there for all of us. And so if I help you, in some kind of karmic way, it'll come back to me later, and that's not a problem. There's no danger or threat to me to help you. If I can help you and connect you, that's always been one of my philosophies, is try to connect people as much as possible. And that's what JR was talking about as well.
Yes.
You know, the more you can help people to network and bounce off each other, we all benefit and we all win. And eventually, somehow, that comes back to you. It's just the way it is. It's the law of karma.
It is. And no matter who you look at the top of the tree, these people moving around, their abundance mentality. They certainly do not have a scarcity mentality. They have an abundance mentality.
Yeah.
Very, very, very genuine. And they combine, I notice with yourself, there's that compassion and that caring, that empathy for other people that comes out. And then the willingness to go, yeah, I care about it, but that's not enough. I'm still going to ask you the tough questions to help you on your way.
Well, there's a bit of tough love sometimes. Sometimes you do have people squirming in the chair, because if you can't be honest with them, then who can? And they have to then be honest with themselves. If you want to change your situation, you have to look at, well, where am I at now, and be honest about that. That's where it starts. If you can't have honesty and integrity in what you're trying to achieve, you won't succeed. I think that's a key tenet that you see with all of these people, the abundance mentality crowd that we've just been talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're all ethical, they're all caring. They're all people who will help other people in any way that they can, because they know that what they've learned is that that's the way to get on. The more you help other people, the more you grow yourself as an individual, and the more you pick up the relationships, the connections that you need to do to go to the next level.
So there's a key lesson for change. Start surrounding yourself with the right people.
Yeah.
Have compassion for other people, and know that on your journey, help other people.
Well, ask what you can do. Paraphrase Kennedy. Ask what, not what you can do for you, what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. If you look for what you can do for other people, what services you can provide, how you can go that extra mile, give more, then it does come back to you. It is a key to change. And
yeah.
Enough people, when you read enough books, you meet enough of these people and you talk to them, they will all agree on that message.
Fantastic. Wonderful to talk to you, Tony. Once again, best way of contacting you?
You can call me on my mobile if you like, although I will be away for the next week. But
I know you're treating yourself to a holiday, which is part of your philosophy, isn't it?
It's
a reward.
It absolutely is. It's part of, it's a key component of my life. One of our mutual friends, Rel Hayes, always used to say
yes.
to me, come back from every holiday, start thinking about the next one, immediately start planning the next one. Because then you've always got something to look forward to. You know, when it's dark and cold early in the morning, as it has been in Perth lately, and you're struggling to get out of bed, you've got a good reason, because you're working towards that reward.
Fantastic. Website again.
So website, you can tonyatclubred.com.au or 0419 860 382.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us, Tony.
Thanks, Michael.